La Jolla, California, UC San Diego Athletics presents TritonCast, the podcast for the UC San Diego Tritons. Here are your hosts, Jeff Toriel and Jenny Stevens.
Welcome to episode 17 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. Alongside Jenny Stevens, I'm Jeff Toriel. Whether you found us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, UC San Diego's website, or anywhere else, we're happy you've joined us today. And if you like what you hear, we know you will, do us a favor and subscribe, rate us, and write a brief review. Jenny, what's coming up on today's show?
Well, Jeff, in today's Triton Spotlight, we have a conversation with a pair of recent UC San Diego soccer alums. We chat with 2018 grad Jeff Powers and 2019 grad Megumi Barber. Both now work in the UC San Diego Athletics Department, Jeff in video production and Megumi in marketing. They tell us what the transition to the real world has been like, as well as how they're still connecting the department with students, alumni, and fans during the pandemic. Jeff and Megumi will also reflect on their favorite memories from their time wearing blue and gold. Our conversation with Jeff Powers and Megumi Barber will come your way shortly in this week's Triton Spotlight.
But first, let's go around campus. It's homecoming week at UC San Diego, and while we can't be together in person this week, there are so many virtual events taking place where you can stay connected to Triton's athletics. On Wednesday night, there's a meet and greet with current soccer scholar athletes. And then on Saturday evening, you won't want to miss the Triton Mania Homecoming Remix. For more details on all of the events taking place, including the virtual 5K, check out the UC San Diego Homecoming Hub at homecoming.ucsd.edu.
Now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. Here's our conversation with UC San Diego soccer alumni, Jeff Powers and Megumi Barber.
Jeff, let's start with you. How old were you when you started playing soccer?
Oh, man. I think I was around 6 years old, if I had a guess, right after I started T-ball. So when everyone starts playing, I would say is the right time.
And were you playing other sports as well?
I started playing baseball first. That was like the first legit sport I played, like team oriented. And then I think the second one was soccer. My dad had played soccer for UC Davis. And I remember him one day just kind of bringing it up, asking if I wanted to play a sport that involved no hands and only your feet. And I think it was kind of like a nonchalant yes, but then I was on a team and who knows, a couple of weeks, and kind of started from there.
And Megumi, what about you? Were you always a soccer child?
I started playing when I was about 5 years old, and then I think competitive right around 8 years old. So I started pretty young, but I think that's pretty average for most people in Southern California that start playing soccer.
And did you play other sports as well when you were a youngster?
Not really. I just loved soccer so much, so it was my one and only focus. I ended up playing field hockey and lacrosse in high school, but that was just for fun.
And at what point, Megumi, did you kind of realize that, you know, you were pretty talented and you maybe wanted to continue into college?
That's a tough question because I think I definitely loved the sport with all that I had. And I knew when I was probably around 13 or 14, when people really start thinking about collegiate soccer, I was like, oh yeah, this is something that I really want to do. But I think academics had always come first, so it was always academics first. And then if I could play soccer, that would be the best of both worlds, you could say.
And Jeff, for you, growing up in the Bay Area, how did you find UC San Diego, or how did UC San Diego find you? How'd that happen?
I think, funny enough, I had gone to the ID camp and, you know, it's kind of like a plug for the program, but the ID camp really helped out. I got to play in front of John and Ryan and with a lot of good talent at that time. And, you know, I guess I did something right in a sense. And so they ended up coming to like a couple games in the Bay Area, saw me play in a couple tournaments down south. And so from that camp, it kind of snowballed into more exposure to them. And then one thing led to another. I got pretty lucky, I'd say, for John to give me that call.
And was this where you always wanted to be?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I didn't really even plan on the college soccer route until maybe like junior year of high school or so. I would probably be the first to tell you that I don't think I was that good in high school. And I really plan on like almost taking a baseball route. And then something clicked around that 16-year-old age. And then I like switched gears completely, went to the soccer route, dove headfirst into that pool. And I didn't really know where to start. I joined a really talented club team, Santa Clara Sporting, where a lot of great players have come out of. Got lucky enough to play for them. And then through that is when I kind of did that D-camp. And then it was on a whim. Like, San Diego sounds great. I love to stay in California. So it was just a bunch of different factors coming together. And luckily, it all ended up working out.
Jeff, was that tough for you to give up baseball at the time?
Honestly, yes. I think it was probably tougher for my father. He spent, you know, hours and hours helping me with batting practice and fielding ground balls and, you know, getting whatever I needed to do. And I love the sport. And then all of a sudden, I think it was just, at the time I was a little undersized. I felt maybe not like I could fully do it. And I thought maybe soccer was a route. And I think I liked the constant pace of soccer a lot more than a little bit of the slow lapses you might get in baseball. So it was just a weird combination of like the age I was at, finding a different love for a different sport at the time. And yeah, so it was definitely tough, but I'm glad I took the route I did.
Megumi, you grew up here in the San Diego area, and how did you end up coming to UC San Diego, and did you always want to stay close?
I get asked this question very often since, yes, I didn't go very far. I live, I'm from North County, which is about 15 to 20 minutes away from La Jolla. So I got very lucky to be close. But I think originally I wanted to go somewhere farther away and really get that full on college experience that people always talk about. And the deal I got with my parents was that if I went to UC San Diego, they would let me live on campus my first year. So I could really get that college experience that I was really looking for. But I didn't really think I was going to UC San Diego until pretty much the day I had to say I'm going to UC San Diego. I think that's like May 1st, but I was deciding between UC Santa Barbara and UC San Diego and UC Davis at the time. And part of me wanted to go far away, but then I ended up choosing UC San Diego because I had a chance to try out for the team here. And so that was my decision.
Gotcha. So if you had gone to one of those other two UCs, you would not have necessarily been playing soccer?
Yeah, for those two schools, they were Division I. I hadn't been recruited at this time for any schools. I talked to a few, but it didn't really work out. And so I was focusing purely on academics. And so those were the three best schools that I got into. And I knew someone who knew someone who knew Brian, who was the coach at the time, and Jonesy, who was the associate head coach at the time. And they said, hey, we can get him to come out to watch your game and we see how you are. And that's kind of how I got the opportunity to try out. And I ended up walking onto the team. So it was the best of both worlds for me because I was looking purely academically at that point.
And let's talk, Megumi, about some of your favorite memories of your time with the women's soccer program at UC San Diego. I know competitively the team was in an NCAA tournament squad every year, but what stands out to you when you look back at your career?
I think going into my senior year, knowing that we had built up such a strong team throughout the 3 years that I had already been there. And going into senior year, we were ready, all fires blazing, and making it to that NCAA Final Four is by far the best experience I've had and best memory. But what took to get there was the PK shootout against Western Washington for the West Region Championship. That, I mean, I scored the winning PK, and that was absolutely incredible to just be engulfed in your team and to just know that you feel like you're on top of the world. And so that would probably be my number one memory from UC San Diego women's soccer.
When you're training all season and really throughout your career, how do you prepare mentally for that moment when you might be taking that PK with the match potentially on the line?
That's a tough question, Jeff. You know, I think you can only prepare so much. So leading into the tournament, we always practice PKs. That's a given, knowing that you might end up in that position. But for that pressure, I think mentally preparing and knowing that when you go up there, you have to have the certainty that you know you're going to score it. And for the goalie, then you know you're going to block it. You can't go in being wary, being nervous. And that's exactly what I did. And, you know, I walked up to that PK. I said, it's not going any further than me. We're doing four PKs this game, and we're going to win right here. And that's how it happened.
And Jeff, for you, the men's team, equally successful during your time here. You redshirted your freshman campaign. But I want to go back to the 2016 season when the team made it all the way to the national semifinals in Kansas City. What was so special about that team?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of things that were special for sure. Luckily, the year before, which the record was not the best, we didn't graduate any seniors from that year into 2016. So in a way, it was nice for us to get a year basically with the team and kind of seeing how everything meshed together. So I'd say that's a pretty big part, but honestly, it's just a lot of things came together at the right time. Everyone bought in. The team culture was amazing, and I still think it's like Megumi said. I mean, their program has always been legit since I've been at UCSD, but it's been that feeling of being on top of the world when you kind of get to that point. It's hard to match for sure. And I think being able to do that with a bunch of your best friends while, you know, knowing all the hard work you put into it, all the time, sleepless nights where you have to stay up studying, and early mornings you have to go and start training or get prehab or whatever, I think it all pays off. And it's easy to look back at 2016 with a lot more fondness than most other years for sure.
And Jeff, that team was unbeaten at Triton Soccer Stadium. Why were you guys so good at home?
I don't know. You might be the first to have asked that. I got super lucky with the guys I played with, John and Hearn, Garrett, all the coaches. Everybody was super bought in, and there's something special about playing at home. I think Megumi can attest to that. I think anyone that's played on that field on a Friday night can attest to that. It's not easy to come to San Diego, even though it might be the best place to travel to come play UCSD. So I actually think throughout my whole career, except for the 2015, I don't think I lost many games at home. And I can only say that's because of just the way the team is built and how they train and what the coaches instill in the players from day one of preseason, making sure that our home stadium is our home stadium for a reason. So it has to be, you know, defended like it is your fortress.
I'll ask both of you this, and we'll start with Megumi. But in the CCAA, the conference that UC San Diego was a part of in Division II, the men's and women's soccer programs would play doubleheaders. So either you were both at home or you were both at the same visiting opponent. Did that help develop sort of a bond between the two programs?
Absolutely. I mean, I think Jeff said it pretty well about being at home. It's very different, and that environment is something that we strive in and we take pride in. So having the men's team watching after they had just battled it out for 90 minutes, sometimes 120 minutes, and they're on the sidelines cheering us on, you know, that camaraderie is felt between both teams. And even away, when we might not have that many fans in the stadiums because we're playing in San Francisco, where a lot of our parents aren't from, a lot of our fans can't travel to. But then you hear the men's team singing their chants, saying, we love you, and, you know, us doing that back to them. It's just, it's something special, and I think we definitely were able to really grow that relationship through the doubleheaders.
Jeff?
Oh, yeah. I kind of blanked. I was remembering all the songs we would sing to the women's team. I was trying to remember, like, lyrics and what song was for who, and But yeah, I'd honestly say the doubleheaders are amazing. It's nice to either take the field after a women's win, because I don't think we ever took one after they lost, or getting off the field before the women play. And, you know, it's just like a cool little handoff of, and I think it's wherever, if we were at home or away and the men's and women's team are playing wherever, I think it was just a big X on anybody's, you know, calendar, because that's a tough day for that school. I think even it starts before with preseason. We all report on the same day. When you're a freshman, you live on campus with women freshmen, so you build that bond there, and it kind of takes off through that, and it just spurs through those double headers. So it's pretty cool to have those bonds, and they kind of build on each other, not even through the season, but through the entire school year, through college, your whole college career, really.
Yeah, and beyond that, I would imagine that with the success that both programs were having, there's almost a competitive piece too, right? Where you're seeing they're doing well and you don't want to kind of let down the school, if you will, Jeff. Is that fair?
Oh, for sure. I think there's going to be that natural internal competitiveness from men's and women's soccer, but from any sport really on campus. And I think that's awesome, because it drives every team to just want to be better and top whatever else is going on. So you see that with, you know, both basketball programs, baseball, the water polo teams, everybody really, since I've become a member of the school, there's just always been this upward trend. So for the men's soccer team, obviously the women have just this crazy history of always being successful. And so for us, it was cool to see that, see what they're doing, how they're getting to that level. And then we have to do it our own way, you know, and how we can get to that level and then to top our own level. And I think it's just this constant, you know, hamster wheel of always wanting to do better than someone else, but also than yourself.
Megumi, I want to go back to your senior year. I know you referenced it a few minutes ago, but when the team made it to Pittsburgh and the venue you're in and the NCAA championship environment, what was that like?
I felt like we were treated as celebrities. I mean, I've never been to Final Four until my senior year, and I think everyone who was there had the same experience, where we showed up and we were like, wow, you know, there's so many other things besides the soccer aspect that we got to do, whether it was the opening ceremony, whether it was the community service portion. We got to go and hang out with all of these kids at this hospital, and it was just so rewarding inside and out. And so that experience was just entirely eye-opening to what it would feel like for maybe a professional soccer player at that point. You know, you walk into a stadium and you feel the pressure, you feel the energy, and there is so much that's happening around it. And I think that was really what I took away from Pittsburgh, was that feeling. And of course the snow, it was very snowy. It was cold. It was a totally different environment to play in. So that was always a factor, but I enjoyed it a lot.
And Jeff, was that similar for you with your Kansas City experience?
Totally. I think anybody that goes to a national semifinal, it does not matter where you are, it's going to be a magical experience. And Kansas City was no different. It was freezing for sure. But the whole time, it's just, I mean, it really is just a ton of fun. You're obviously there to play a game and you're focused on that game. But really, it was every day was an enjoyable experience. The community service was super fun. You get to mingle with other teams, which is really cool. You do a dinner, a banquet. We got to do the MLS team, Kansas City Sporting, their stadium. So we got to see the pitch, and everything was amazing about it. And that it's constantly brought up between, you know, whenever I talk with a member of that team, it's always brought up something about that trip, whether it was like barbecue we ate or what someone said or a training session, you know, who won soccer tennis that day or whatever. So it's a fond memory for sure.
We're chatting with Jeff Powers and Megumi Barber on Triton Cast, both of whom are UC San Diego Triton soccer alums, and both of whom now work in the athletics department. Jeff, we'll start with you, a video production assistant for UC San Diego Athletics. What does that mean?
Kind of, you know, what it sounds like. I work in video for the department. So it depends on what's needed, but I work either on the live side of broadcasting for the ESPN games that we show, or even on the non-live. So any video that is curated for the website UCSD Trains or their social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at UCSD Trains, any video that needs to be done, I either help out, I do it, I edit it. I kind of just have my hand in whatever is necessary. Big shout out to my boss, Steven, though. He's kind of the man. And so he makes everything a lot easier for me and has taught me a whole lot about the job. That's for sure.
And Jeff, I know you've had an interest in photography for a while. How did that translate to video and then help you get to where you are now?
Yeah. Photography was definitely my first interest when it came to like the multimedia side of things. My parents had gotten me a camera and kind of took off from there. I started getting into photos, and living in San Diego is really easy to take it. But then I actually had to do like a project for a class, and it was like a video project. I never had really done it. My girlfriend at the time, still is my girlfriend, I guess, Amy, she is really good at video. So she kind of taught me how it all goes down and showed me the ropes on like the really basic things. And then out of nowhere, this job kind of comes up, this opportunity. And so I took it and ran, and kind of every day I have to learn something new, but that's the coolest part about it, I think.
And Megumi, you're a marketing assistant for the athletics department. What does that entail on a day-to-day basis?
Day-to-day. So the way our marketing department is kind of formatted is that we have one person mainly focused on the campus aspect. So that's mainly students, since that is a really big population that we want to serve and want to make sure is having the attention and events focused on. But my position is more focused on the community. So that entails all of the community partnerships that we might have, local schools, local clubs, and just really getting the community excited about UC San Diego Athletics. Obviously, with the COVID situation, everything kind of being a little bit different than what it was like before, I'm helping out a lot more with the campus side of marketing, but obviously there's a lot to do with the community as well. So I'm all over the place, but mainly focused on the community.
So whether Megumi, it's community or campus right now, because of the pandemic, without athletic games and competitions taking place these days, how are you keeping busy and how is the athletics staying engaged with specifically with campus, with students on campus?
Yeah, you know, I think you hear virtual anything. So right now we're doing a lot of virtual events, whether it's we just finished Triton Mania, which is typically the biggest pep rally we have, or spirit rally at the beginning of the school year, to welcome all the new students and all the students back to UC San Diego and really get them excited about being a Triton and what that means. So this year we did that virtually, everything on a Zoom webinar. We helped script the items and then reached out to all of the students, whether they were scholar athletes, whether they're ASVP of Spirit, and really gathered all that content and sent it over to Jeff and Steven, and they did their magic. And we luckily had a very wonderful event, but everything's really in the virtual setting. We'll see coffee chats coming up in the next few months, and that's going to be more conversation focused. And these are really to understand what the students' experience is like, to share that experience and to create that community feel. So we're really focusing on the students during this time and Train Tide, our student section, and really getting the students involved and feeling that connection that might be missing from the social aspect of school.
And Megumi, how did you get into this role? So if I'm not mistaken, you were a cognitive science major, economics minor. So how did you become a marketing assistant in athletics?
Yeah, I, you know, you got to know someone. And luckily, I had played soccer here and I was on the alumni athlete page on Facebook. Just one of the ways we get to be connected to all those former Tritons as well. And I'd been working at a restaurant during the time and was pretty uncertain with how I wanted to go about figuring out what I wanted to do and what career path might be fit for me. And lo and behold, the position opened up for a marketing assistant and I saw it on the page and I was like, why not give it a shot? You know, I miss athletics. I miss being around all the people who make sports fun. And I ended up getting the job and I feel extremely lucky and thrilled.
Jeff, Megumi mentioned a moment ago about a project, Triton Mania, that her area worked with your video production area. But how are you guys keeping busy right now, again, with no live events going on?
Yeah, like you said, no live events. So everything is on the non-live side. And it was, you know, kind of, I don't know what the word is, but when things got shut down, it went from, we were at a really busy point on the live side where we had a basketball tournament. The regional was going to be hosted. So we had all these live games lined up. And I think we were all gearing up to be busy in that way. And as soon as things kind of turned around and got shut down, my boss and I kind of were like, now we're going to be like busy, but in completely like 180. So everything we're doing, I mean, a lot of, you know, things like Megumi said is virtual. So events that we put on is all through video. So we're doing a lot of stuff that comes to like talking headpieces, whether it's the Tritonmania, or we did a series called Between Two Zooms, which is between our ESPN broadcasters who are interviewing student athletes about their experiences, you know, what's going on every day, how they're kind of handling things, and really anything that we can keep creating content and keep creating a buzz, especially going into the D1 era for UC San Diego.
I'll ask you both this, and Megumi, we'll start with you. On a personal level, what's been the biggest challenge about the pandemic and how it's changed your professional workflow and the way you do your job? And what's been kind of the maybe unexpected silver lining in it?
That's a tough one. I think a lot of us have really realized what it feels like to be able to go into work, to leave work when you leave your campus. I think that's probably the biggest challenge I've faced is I find myself thinking about work all the time, wanting to work all the time, which is not always a bad thing, but I think that comes with in moderation, of course. And just really trying to find the balance between when I'm at home, am I relaxing or am I working? And there's been a lot of adjusting, I would have to say, to do within my house, trying to find the spot where I work. And I think just really getting my head around and understanding that this is going to be my work hours. It's the same as 9 to 3 before, but these are my work hours. And that's when my brain needs to be focused on work. And same thing out of hours, you know, really getting that out of my head is work is done. Okay. You need to relax and really find that balance. Luckily though, I have found that you save a lot of time with traveling from driving to school. We don't have events, so weekends and afternoons are typically open now, which is pretty crazy for the sports world. You know, I think a lot of us who work in the sports industry can say, yeah, there are a lot of weeks where we work weekends every day of the weekend and a lot of the afternoons, and that's just how it is. And so I think we've been really lucky not to have that, and I've been really utilizing that and taking that time to learn something new. I think that's been a big thing that a lot of people have been talking about is we've had a lot more time on our hands so we can learn something. So I've been interested in digital marketing a little bit more. And so I took the time to really kind of dive a little bit deeper into that and truly figure out what it is that I want to get better at and finding that next step and the next path. And I've been thankful to have that time.
Jeff, what about for you?
Ooh, honestly, the hardest part about transitioning to the work from home, and I'm not kidding, is the Wi-Fi. at home has been so much worse than the Wi-Fi at UC San Diego. So a lot of like the stuff I, and it sounds silly, but a lot of the stuff that comes with video editing is, you know, you need Wi-Fi to like get on the program and to access the videos that you can cut and edit and audio and all that, whatever technical stuff. And then you need to use the Wi-Fi to also upload it to whatever the website or any, you know, any platform. And my Wi-Fi at home is so slow that it might take me like a half a day to get like a 30-second video rendered out. So that's been kind of tough because at school, I mean, something about it, that Wi-Fi is crazy. So it never had that problem. And I think it took me a while to get used to the waiting game of it all. Other than that though, it's obviously not the easiest thing to just sit at home all day and kind of get used to that. But when with all the stuff going on in the world, it's not too hard to, you know, be at home and just be safe. The silver lining, there's a couple. I think Megumi kind of said all the things that I might have said about like weekends and having a little more free time. Obviously it's not what we were expecting, but now that we have it, about taking advantage of the free time. So I'm able to whatever, go surf or read more books, or I'm learning Portuguese right now and kind of relearning Spanish in the free time I got. So that's pretty cool. Also, it's just been cool to see how everyone in the department is kind of adjusting. I think we all were thrown into this crazy world and this new environment, and everyone really adapted fast on all facets. And it's a really admirable thing, I guess, to see it on the inside. Even though I was an athlete, I could have seen it, but being on the inside of it and seeing how all of the people in the department were able to get used to this so quick and figure things out and kind of not really miss a beat on the way we run the department. And I think that's really exemplary of being a UCSD train.
Megumi, how do you think your time balancing soccer and academics at UC San Diego in terms of work ethic or whatever applies to you has helped you kind of prepare for the real world, at least based on your experience so far?
I think I definitely learned to be patient. You know, sometimes what you want is not always right in front of you and not always attainable with one action, for example. And I think I've really learned that you got to work for whatever it is that you're looking to achieve. And I've learned how to goal set, how to take those little steps towards that goal and then to finally achieve that and then to set another goal. So to always look to achieve for something more. And so I've been really able to apply all of that in work because as anyone, you know, we're always looking to get better and to be better and to figure out ways we can help everyone in the department in UC San Diego and be most efficient and most effective in our position. And so just that work ethic, that mentality has given me a lot of tools to really achieve anything and to figure out what it is that I don't have and how I can get that and how I can learn that. And so, yeah, I would say that is probably my biggest lesson from UC San Diego.
Same question for you, Jeff. How did your time playing soccer here and going to school here and balancing those tough classes prepare you for what you're experiencing now?
I think this is pretty stereotypical of any student athlete to say, but you learn a lot of time management skills because to take a full course load while participating in athletics is takes up a lot of time. So you have to be able to kind of sort through your day and understand what needs to get done and what's priority and what can hold off or whatever. So that for sure, I mean, is a life skill I'll have forever, is knowing how to sort out my day and see things, what's priority and what needs to get done. So that's huge. And then I think what Megumi kind of touched on the end is as an athlete here, we're always looking to push ourselves and better ourselves, whether it was on the field or in the classroom and or in the weight room, whatever it is. So I think that has come into the job, especially, you know, I always want to be able to prove myself and better whatever skills I have, learn new things and be open to learning new things. And I think the attitude I was able to curate through my career as a scholar athlete kind of has been able to affect the way I am as an employee in just, you know, every day, really.
Our guests on TritonCast this week are Megumi Barber and Jeff Powers, both of whom played soccer at UC San Diego. As the department athletics transitions into Division I, Megumi, how have you seen, obviously as an alum and now as a department employee, how have you seen the program change and kind of get ready for that step up to the Big West Conference in Division I?
That's very interesting, because I think when I was a freshman, we were just trying to get the referendum passed, and going into college and you're like, oh my goodness, we're trying to go Division I, and then we're putting in all this work to really get the student support and make sure that they know that Division I is something that the university as a whole wants and can want, and it's attainable. And I think seeing it come to fruition from just the referendum to having that pass to the four-year transition, and then finally here we are at Division I. It's been really incredible to see how we've grown. And I think what I've noticed as a scholar athlete, you really feel that everyone who has come onto the team or has been on the team, and I'm speaking about the department here as the team, is we've had new additions, but we've also seen everyone kind of step it up a notch. Everyone says, all right, we're going to make sure that when we go into Division I, we're going to make waves. And I think that mentality has been visible throughout the entire department, whether it's from video, whether it's from communications, whether it's from marketing, and even the scholar athletes themselves. I think we all pride ourselves a little bit more on proving that this is exactly where we need to be. And so I've just seen a different like caliber of mentality and work ethic and desire, I would say, to really show everyone that Division I is exactly where we belong.
And Jeff, do you and your former teammates take pride in the fact that you kind of helped pave the way for the program to be headed where it's going now?
Oh yeah, I would definitely say so. It's funny. It makes me feel super old, but I can remember the day and where I was and when it all passed. It seems like it was a crazy thing for us at the time, but even the school as a whole. And we, as student athletes at that year, I think it was like 2015 or whatever, we all had a part, I think, in getting that referendum passed, whether it was just passing out flyers on the library walk or spreading the word through social media or really doing whatever it took. Because I think a lot of athletes at the time had been recruited with the idea of D1, and there was so much buzz and excitement about it that, speaking for my team, it was a huge deal. And I think we all saw the potential that the school has and saw what the Division I could do for the image of the school. And so when it was passed, that was, you know, major. And then obviously the 4 years this took, it's been cool to see how the school has developed and started to ramp up in preparation for it. And, you know, it just adds to the pride of being a scholar alumni athlete from the school.
And Jeff, do you still play soccer at all recreationally?
Yeah. Well, currently, no, with, you know, the pandemic. Once we had finished up, or I had finished up at school, I did like, you know, my pass at professional trials and nothing really stuck. So then I signed with a team down here that played in the NPSL for a season. And then since then, that kind of ended. And then this kind of started. So it's been a weird little transition. I haven't really played much for months, but whenever I can just go kick a ball around, if I have time or, you know, have a friend that I want to pass, and it's definitely an opportunity I take.
And Megumi, how about you? I know you just had a knee injury that you're recovering from, but do you still have a ball in the trunk?
Absolutely. I unfortunately did tear my ACL probably about, I think, 2 or 3 months after I had graduated. And it was unfortunate because I really did want to see where I could go with soccer. And it's been a long recovery. In that meantime, I've obtained this position. I've been around athletics. I've been around soccer. And right now I still have my mindset on still pursuing some sort of career, whether it's trying to go pro. I think I'm coming up to almost a year in the next few months from surgery, and that's kind of my starting mark of, all right, this is going to be go time to really grind the gears and see what we can do. And then if that doesn't work out, then I'm going to go into the sports industry or some sort of marketing job. But I play all the time. I see soccer people. I live with soccer people, and I coach little 7-year-old girls for the La Jolla Impact Soccer Club. And so I'm around it all the time, and I can't get away from it. And I don't want to. So.
Well, now I got two questions. So definitely want to ask about coaching the 7-year-olds and how you got involved in that. So that's one. And the other is, how's the knee?
Yeah, the knee is doing really good. I'm definitely almost to the point where I can play contact. So I think by that 1-year mark, I'll be playing contact soccer again, which is going to be incredibly huge for my recovery. And for the soccer coaching itself, I started coaching there right when the pandemic started, actually, and I got the position, knowing a lot of the UC San Diego women's soccer alumni, Kristen Jones, the head coach of our women's team, of course, and a few others, Tosh. We have Heather, who just got entered into the Hall of Fame, and Lauren Seegers, and we're just a really tight-knit alumni family. And when they said, oh, we need another coach for the team, you know, are you interested? Do you have time? And I said, absolutely. This seems like a great opportunity for me to really stay connected to the alumni family and to give back to the soccer community and share that passion.
And I know that later this month, you're taking part in a panel involving soccer parenting. How'd you become involved there? And what are you going to talk about?
Yeah, good to mention that. I mean, this was a really exciting opportunity I got from one of my former soccer coaches. His name's Ruben Martinez, and I was a player for him when I was 10 years old, which seems absolutely crazy now. I'm 23, and we're still very good friends. Our families are friends. We stay in contact. And he had just recently started a social media, I would say, like, presence, and it's called the Crazy Soccer Dad. And he used to be a coach for years, and he had just become a soccer parent at this time and started watching his kids and realized that there's a lot of questions parents have about the soccer world, especially if you've never been, you know, in that competitive environment. What is the next step? What should I be doing? And so I got tied into this purely from my experience as a soccer player, experience having really good parents. My parents were extremely supportive, and very rarely did they criticize me, make me want to quit soccer. And that's something I think a lot of parents struggle with, is pushing the sport so hard on them and making the kid lose their passion, lose their motivation. And so I mainly talk about my experiences there, how I ended up at UC San Diego, which is also a crazy story. But I go a lot more into detail than I did here, and then about what I'm looking to do in the future.
What a really cool concept. That's awesome. Hey, Jeff, I was looking at your bio on the UCSDTritons.com website. So I don't know if you were a freshman or in high school or whenever you filled this part out, but for favorite movie, you listed every Disney movie that's ever been made. So is that only the cartoons, or is that literally every Disney movie?
I was more geared to the cartoons, but I don't think I ever could watch a Disney movie and say I hated it. So it's pretty accurate. It was definitely high school, Jeff, though, that's for sure.
So if you had to rank Disney movies, kind of what would be at the top of that list?
Yes, you know, that is the hardest question I think I've had to answer. It's so tough. There's like the newer animated movies that are killer. Like Coco has probably been one of my favorite ones that has recently been, you know, released. Coco and Moana are like the two recent. I think if I go back to older time Disney, you know, I grew up with the Tarzan era. So like Tarzan is probably the GOAT, but you know, Up is legit. It's too hard to name them. There's so many. It's really hard.
So what's your take on Disney remaking some of these movies into action movies, such as, you know, Lion King or Mulan, et cetera, that started as cartoons?
It's tough. I don't know if there's a live action that I watched that I came away and said, that's definitely better than the animated. I haven't even seen the Mulan one yet, because I heard it kind of shatters your love for the original movie, which is sad. But I mean, I think you got to go with the time. So for like a bunch of young kids, that's like the cool, that is their Mulan or that is their Lion King. So I get it. I just, for me, I'm an old school original Disney kind of guy.
And you also said in the next little paragraph I'm looking at, it said that some of your favorite food is the Borden Brew Chicken Club sandwich, but definitely no mayo. Is that still accurate?
Yeah, no mayo, no tomato. That's funny, actually. That was before the school was sponsored by Borden Brew. I love that place, man. That is, if they ever wanted to sponsor me, I could do a whole lot for them. But that is accurate. I had a chicken club, no mayo, no tomato, like 2 days ago. Add extra sauce too. I think that's in the bio as well.
It is, to be fair, and we'll make sure that our friends at Borden Brew hear this. That's fantastic.
Shout out Borden Brew.
Magumi, don't want to exclude you from this fascinating part of the conversation, but what's your go-to at Borden Brew?
Oh, the terracotta extra sauce and on a French roll. That is the move. I mean, anyone can say the sauce, you just have to go extra sauce, you know. That's always guaranteed. And terracotta is the move for me, but I could not stop cracking up. I'm glad I was a little muted there so you couldn't hear my ugly laugh. But Jeff, I so agree with you. Borden Brew is the thing. I love it. Sponsor me too.
I'm just going to stay quiet for a minute to make sure that I can capture all this for our friends at Borden Brew, who are great partners of athletics. We do certainly appreciate their support. Favorite soccer team, Magumi, you.
I am a Chelsea fan. A lot of people don't like me for that, but I love Chelsea. I think I started watching them when I was 8 or 9 years old, when I really got into soccer. And that era of Drogba, Peter Cech, John Terry, Frank Lampard, that era of Chelsea really like enticed me. And since then, I've been a Chelsea fan. And hopefully this year will be on the up as well.
Jeff?
Yeah, it's funny because I never watched soccer growing up besides the MLS. So, I mean, I'm from San Jose. So the Earthquakes have always had to be on my radar. That was like the game you'd go to as a kid when you're growing up playing soccer. And they were like the superstars. So I never really watched European soccer until maybe like middle of high school, when I really got into it. And when it became more of a normal thing, I think, to watch around where I was growing up. So I don't support anybody in Europe. I love watching teams play for style, or I love watching players play. And certain teams with certain coaches obviously are really fascinating to watch, but I don't really support anybody. It's such a bad answer.
Not if that's your truth. We're in our final moments with Jeff Powers and Magumi Barber on TritonCast. Magumi, take us back to your playing days for the Tritons, and how did you pass time on the sometimes long bus trips?
I'm a big sleeper. I know this is kind of boring, but I love sleeping on the buses. But there were a lot of times we would play, oh God, Jeff, you got to help me out here. It's that game where there's Mafia. A killer. Yeah, Mafia, there you go. We would play Mafia a ton, and then I would do my homework. But, you know, because, you know, you're on a trip, but that doesn't mean you get to relax all the time. You got school you're missing. And so, sadly, a lot of sleeping, a lot of homework, and then Mafia kind of sprinkled in there.
Jeff, what about you?
It was only Mafia. Only Mafia. You know, like, I always sat in the back of the bus, and then, like, before games or on the way, we didn't really play. I think everyone was kind of doing their own thing, getting in the zone. So usually I would just kind of sit there and, you know, talk with whoever wanted to listen to me and would deal with me. Shout out to Yuli and Dan Glasscock for that one. But after a game, even if it was a bad game or a great game, it did not matter. At the back half of the bus, it would just be like a 15-20 person Mafia game that would probably take the entire length of the bus ride plus extra time off the bus when we got to campus, it was insane. Like, I just, you have to ask Ryan Hernandez about that because he's the curator and like the real original when it comes to Mafia. But those are hands down the best memories that come from the program.
Well, it sounds to me like, Megumi, if you're in need of a future marketing event, maybe it's a Zoom webinar on how to play Mafia.
Jeff, you might be onto something.
Oh, yeah.
I am super intrigued. We're out of time for today, but Jeff and Megumi, thank you so much, both of you, for taking the time to chat with us.
Thank you for having us. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jeff.
Wow, that was a great conversation, Jeff. I think what really stuck out to me was how they've been using their time so productively during the pandemic. It's really awesome to hear how they've been sharpening their skills for work, even during this time.
No doubt about that, Jenny. And it's certainly maybe motivating for you, me, and others. But I think for me, you know, hearing about some of their soccer memories was certainly fascinating. We love having those conversations with alumni scholar athletes, but also how both Jeff and Megumi have taken what they learned on the pitch and as students at UC San Diego and how that has helped them transition into roles working in the athletics department as we move to Division I.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been great to see. Coming up on episode 18 of TrainCast, we meet a former thrower on the track and field team who ended up working at the National Science Foundation. Come back and join us next week to learn more. New episodes of TritonCast premiere each Wednesday.
Thanks for listening to this week's show. For more on TritonCast, please follow us on Twitter at TritonCast. And if you've got suggestions for a future guest, send us a tweet or email Jenny and me at TritonCast@UCSD.edu. We'll see you back here next week.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@UCSD.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter at TritonCast. We'll be right back.